Welcome to another Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.
Today we're going to talk a little bit about softball and reaction time through various sports and a little bit of the local sporting scene. First off, in the men's softball championships, which have been played in West Beach, Adelaide, South Australia managed to win its first game at any national championships in the men's in 12 years when they beat Victoria 5-4, and then on the same day followed up with a 3-1 victory over Queensland. They'd never beaten Victoria previously in any of these championships over the 33-year history, whereas they had one victory against Queensland about 20 years ago. But the last time South Australia won a game was 2004 against Tasmania, and previous to that, Northern Territory, and neither of those teams are participating any longer. So it's been a long drought, and it was fantastic the way it finished. Against Victoria, James Harris hit a 2-run home run in the first innings, which set up the win. And in the second game, it was a 3-1 come-from-behind win when the South Aussies got 3 runs in the fourth innings, which highlighted Jared Fowle, who was a pitcher in both games, getting a big double in between the 3 runs being scored. Now, Fowle got 14 strikeouts against Victoria and 11 against Queensland. And he's got a top speed of 128 kilometres an hour, which is really fast with its reaction time to the batters. But Vanessa Stokes, another South Australian, her best was 110 kilometres an hour, while the world record is held by a guy from the ACT, Adam Folkart, 140 kilometres an hour, but he's not participating in these championships. So it's amazing when you compare the reaction time and the speeds of softball in the men's and the women's with cricket and other sports. What are you, you've done some research on that, Rick.
Yes, I have actually. It brings me back to my old exercise physiology teaching days. And it depends a lot on how you read reaction time. It's all about reaction time. And reaction time is, I guess, by definition, the ability to make a response to an object, in the case of cricket, softball, baseball, etc., in relation to the speed at which it's travelling. That's the stimulus, and so everything's judged on how you make a decision. It's a visual response, obviously, in the game with a ball coming towards you. Trying to compare them is a little bit tricky because in the case of cricket, the ball bounces once, whereas in softball and baseball, it doesn't. However, if we look at, say, 140 k's there, the fastest supposedly recorded cricket ball bowled is by Shoaib Akhtar from Pakistan at 161.3 k's.
Gee, that was a good decade or so ago.
It is a good decade ago. There is a great deal of controversy, though, because they've only ever timed Jeff Thompson at 160.6 k's, which is, what's half a k between friends. But there's a lot of people who would believe he bowled a lot faster than that, but whether the recording techniques of those days stood up or not, I don't know. Having faced him and Dennis Lilly, it didn't matter much. They bowled quick enough as it was.
And what was your reaction time to those type of bowling?
Probably not fast enough, I don't think. But it is interesting that reaction time is a combination of depending on the number of open, it's called open or closed situations. And so if the ball comes to you in a direct line, it's a more closed situation than it is, say, in a cricket delivery where the ball bounces and then possibly seams or swings. And so there's more decisions to be made. And although the base of your reaction time is your physiology, the more selections or choices you have to decide upon slows your reaction time down. And so there is an argument that cricket is more difficult because of that ball pitching. Both a baseball pitch travels at about the best 100 k's an hour over 18 metres, and it's about a 0.4 to 0.55 second time span that it takes to travel. And if a cricket ball bowled at 45 metres per second, which is basically 100 miles an hour, which is very rare, that takes about 0.45 of a second as well.
And just correcting you, you were saying 100 kilometres first, but you meant 100 miles an hour?
I did, yes,
which
sorry.
Is about 160 odd.
Exactly, yes, sorry about that. So it's a really interesting, I can remember back in the days when I was teaching all this stuff, that we did use these examples to try and explain to students how the number of decisions that you had to try and make dictated what your response or reaction time was going to be. There is a story that Muhammad Ali could throw two punches and get them in before any human's reaction time could prevent them. And perhaps that's why he was as good as he was.
Gee, I wouldn't like to face that.
No. I'd fall over very quickly, I think.
You don't even need a dark alley.
No, that's very true. That's very true. So it is very interesting. And it's compared with the pitching. I guess that's why fast bowlers have to have a run-up, because their arm has to be straight, and so they haven't got that fulcrum of a bent arm that can generate the same sort of, in the end, give or take the odd few kilometres, they are generating basically the same speeds. But the fortunate thing with a baseball pitcher is that he can bend and flex and then straighten his arm, which enables him to generate the same speed as somebody running in and trying to bowl.
Yeah, there are some pros and cons to the cricket, the baseball and the softball, because with the cricket, as you say, they have a run-up. Are they able to bring their slingshot the ball around, whereas baseball, they're sort of in a stationary position and they have to generate all the forward momentum when they throw. And then in softball, it's different again, because even though it's underarm, they're able to loop their arm around and get some momentum going.
Yes, very, very true. I mean, in a sense, the baseball concept is not dissimilar, although they're not totally similar either, to the forces generated with a shot putter or a discus thrower, where they use hip flexion and shoulder flexion and a whole heap of other things to try and generate that speed, because they're not allowed to use a run-up, of course.
Yeah, but what you see over the years in Major League Baseball, the 20-odd years ago, no one had cracked the 100 miles an hour, which is, they're talking miles an hour over there, but now it's a regular occurrence. But you see, the faster pitchers have a way of twisting their body to generate their own momentum.
That's absolutely true, and I still believe that is one of the very significant factors involved in using those joints and rotations to generate the speed. I think as well, however, and it applies to all sports, whether they're throwing sports or football or whatever, that the machinery in weight training centres now, and the ability with the use of pulleys to absolutely specifically train muscle groups, is really a great influence on being able to just get that extra little power out of certain muscles that you need.
And just to finish off this section, what other comparisons from other sports have you found with reaction time?
Again, it depends on the nature of the sport. For instance, probably the easy and classical example is that a swimmer standing on the blocks only has to make one hearing auditory decision. That is, he jumps in the water when the gun goes off. Whereas in a netball pass or a basketball pass, where there are players surrounding you, there are variations on how the ball is going to be delivered to you. Because there are so many more decisions to work out where the ball's coming from and how it's going to be delivered to you, your reaction time is going to take considerably longer because of those decisions, which must be processed through first of all the sensory factor, whether it's the eyes or feel or with touch or whatever, that go to the brain and then have to be transferred back to your muscles to make contractions to do what you meant to do, and that is catch the ball or hit the ball or whatever it is.
The obvious one with speed that a lot of people see on the television is tennis. So what have you found in your research about tennis servers?
Well, tennis serving is incredibly fast, and that's partly due not only to human physiology but also the amazing rackets that are being produced that allow the speed to come. And if you look at those reaction times, it is almost that the receiver of the ball has to make a decision as the ball is coming off the racket. Now, because of the projection, the ball does bounce in tennis as well, but there's a lot of what I guess is anticipation as to where the ball's going to be.
Looking at some local sports, recently, Shane O'Donoghue, who's one of the top goal kickers in the B grade for South Gawler in 2009 and 10, and he won the under-17 top goal kicker in 97 with 57 goals, he still plays a little bit of cricket for South Gawler. And the other week ago, he was playing against Gawler Central at Gawler Oval for South, and he took 5 catches in the first innings. 5 catches, how does that rate?
5 out of the 10, that's quite amazing.
Yeah, and then in the second innings, he took another 3. 8 catches in a match, have you heard of that before?
I've never heard of that at all, not at all. 8 catches, that is remarkable. That would be, I would think, a record.
Well, hopefully the bowlers bought him a few beers.
You'd like to think so.
Now, it's interesting, playing Gawler Central, Gawler Oval. Now, Buff Lehman played for Gawler Central, and I see recently he had the record for the fastest 200, or the 200 for the youngest player, and I believe you got some info on that.
Well, I have indeed. After all these years, and Buff being in the incredible situation of the successful Australian cricket coach and holding the record until recently of the youngest person at SACA A grade level, now called Premier Cricket, it used to be A grade, he has just been knocked off by a young man from Yorktown. He's only 17, but he was a few days younger. Buff was 17 when he scored his 200. His name's Blake Gutschke, and he plays for Woodville, and he made this unbeaten 214 to erase the Buff's record. So there you go.
Well, I don't think Buff would be too concerned about it. He's achieved so much in his life. I mean, Test cricket, he's got those centuries up there against Bangladesh, and et cetera, down up north. And what are you doing? The World Cup, he took the catch to finish the game and then hit the winning runs in another World Cup final.
Yes, Buff Lehman is quite a sensational story in that he was a superstar from a very young age. I mean, as we've just mentioned, he made 200 as a 17-year-old in Premier Grade cricket, then went on and got selected for South Australia at not much older. I think he was just under 18 years of age, and obviously finished up being one of the greatest Sheffield Shield run scorers when you combine his South Australian and Victorian totals together. Probably, I believe, should have played a lot more Test cricket than he did. Maybe that's partly due to him not having moved over to Victoria as as early as he possibly should have to get a game. However, the only thing that worries me a little bit about today's world of sport and the exposure of it is that I hope this Blake Gutschke is allowed to just progress at his rate rather than be projected. It is a sensational performance, but he is only 17 years of age, and in the world of cricket these days and the world of professional sport these days, the pressure put on people to achieve is enormous, and I hope he's allowed to progress without too much pressure.
And just a little bit more of a local connection with Buff, he played some cricket there for Gawler Central. He also played, I think, a season with South Gawler and a couple of seasons with Sandy Creek, so he's well entrenched in the Gawler region.
Oh, he is. I didn't realise he'd played for Sandy Creek as well. Yes, Buff. I mean, Buff's a legend. He's a legend not only in our own hometown, but he's a legend throughout the whole of Australia. And I think it's not only because he's an incredibly skilled man, but he's got the personality that everyone seems to enjoy. You know, he's the bloke next door. There's no airs and graces, and he calls it as it is, and it's a winning formula, I think.
Now, I reckon looking at Gawler Bossa Light and Gawler Netball this season, I think there's going to be a non-Gawler team that may take the championship this year, because Williston, which has won in 2008, 10, 11, 12, 14 and 15, which is 6 of the last 8 years, they just absolutely dominated. And in those 2 years, they missed out. In 09, it was Gawler Central, and in 13, it was South Gawler. So it's basically been a stronghold for Gawler. But 4 of the premiership stars from Williston, Lisa Wilson, Bonnie Heap, Lee Barnett, and Jess Wilson, have all gone to Bossa Districts with last year's premiership coach Ross Fraser. And interestingly, Barossa Districts were the last team to win the netball premiership before the Gawler teams, and that was back in 2007.
Well, it's a staggering move to lose four of your seven players and the star players they are to probably the next best side in the competition is bad enough. It makes you wonder whether they won cross lotto up there or not.
Yeah, but I suppose, change of scenery sort of, it just sort of goes on in footy all the time, but you don't really hear about it in netball.
Well, you don't, but I guess to get that many going, it may well be. I must confess that at one stage in my career, I moved teams because I enjoyed the coach, rather than the one that I would have had. And maybe these girls have just followed the coach, as it were, because that's what they want to do.
Well, of course, Ross Fraser is one of the top level coaches up in Adelaide. So she's well credentialed, and she's done a fantastic job. She coached the Division 1 and 2 Wollaston Premiership teams last year, so obviously she has something, but it's interesting. It reminds me of Henley Bridge Football, who won the Premiership 2 years ago, and then last year lost all their players and finished bottom.
Well, it's one of the things, if you can't keep your players, as good as any coach is, they've got to have the cattle to work with. And in this netball case, it would seem as if it's a great compliment to the coach that you've got four, as it were, local superstars moving camp to follow the coach. And no greater compliment could be offered, I wouldn't have thought, than that.
Yes, and just to finish off with, it was interesting to see that Port Power and Melbourne played an AFL game at Elizabeth Oval the other week ago. And the commentator on TV was saying there was 20,000 people there, but I was thinking that would be a record. But I looked in the paper the next day, that was 4,900 people. So obviously it must have looked like a big crowd.
Well, maybe he was counting them twice or three times, because I actually didn't see the game, but I just saw some highlights. And I expected there to be a big crowd, and I couldn't believe that on the mounds it was very open and scattered. So I think the 20,000 must be... Perhaps he had a couple of quiet drinks at some stage during the counting process.
And when you asked me, was I surprised that Port lost? Well, no. When was the last time Port won a game at Elizabeth?
Oh, dear me. Well, I think it was that Ken said to them after half time, look, just have a rest, I think.
Thank you very much again. It's a Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.